I'm going to go to the 12th chapter of Acts. 12th chapter of Acts. Herod is persecuting the Christians. In the midst of all this persecution, Peter ends up in jail. Amen. 12th chapter of Acts. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. I'm glad I live in 2005. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. Now, how many soldiers is that? 16 soldiers. Man. Now, some of you did you not know that, Brother Rick? Yeah, how many of you did not know that was 16 soldiers? See, we read these words in the Bible and we just go, wow, that's a big word, go on. 16 people to guard this one man, and he was harmless. Peter wasn't going to hurt anybody. He was harmless. He tried to cut somebody's ear off once, but Jesus fixed that. But he was harmless. He's just wanting to preach the gospel. Anyway, Herod caught him and ordered these 16 soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You may be seated. Everybody say, but the church prayed. Hallelujah. Prayer makes a difference. You know, if you pray as an individual, it can make a difference. And if you pray as a group of individuals, it can make a difference. And if it doesn't seem to make a difference, it still makes a difference. God knows how to answer prayer in His time, in His way, according to His plan, according to His will. And as I've said many times, we don't always know how to pray. Now, we're not alone. That's been a common ground for many people for a long, long time. It goes all the way back to the days of the disciples. Lord, teach us how to pray. And He gave them a few words, and thousands of people today are trying to use those words as the prayer. And, you know, just like the polyparrot, Matthew 28:19, when they baptize, it tells us to do it in the name. People just rather just read the words and think they've done it right. Amen. But it's the Word and the words that we're looking for. Hallelujah. You hear me? Amen. It's the Word within the words that we're looking for. It's the Word of God that's inspired of God. We have a lot of words here, but we're looking for a Word from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Word within the words of Matthew 28:19 is, do this in Jesus' name. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. If you haven't received that word, you don't understand Matthew 28:19. It's wonderful when you get the word out of the words. So the angel of the Lord, as a result of these prayers, came to deliver. I believe in angels. I believe God dispatches angels because it's in the Word of God. I believe God sends angels to help God's people. And I believe that prayer, the reason I believe it is because the Word of God declares it. That prayer causes God to do things. Amen. When you look at it, this is a big God we serve. And we mortal human beings can move God. Hallelujah. Think about it. We always want Him to move us, but look at what kind of power He's given His church. He has given you the power to move God. You see, these examples are not in the Bible just to have Bible stories to read before you go to sleep at night. These are here to let us know. Prayer made by the church without ceasing, no matter how it seems, can make a difference. Hallelujah. 16 people guarding you, armed soldiers guarding you, with orders, don't let him get away. We've already killed this one over here, and we're going to make an example out of this one too. We can't let these church people, we can't let them win this battle. We're going to kill them, we're going to get them, we're going to do away with them. You guard him with your life. And they put him in jail, and they have these people guarding him. But prayer was made. But prayer was made of the church. Hallelujah, it makes a difference. Amen. So, sixteen soldiers ordered to keep him, intending after Easter, Herod was going to bring him before the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, this is very detailed. A few words, but it tells us exactly how they were praying, what they were praying for. Hallelujah. He was in prison, and they were praying without ceasing to God for him. Not just a general prayer for just any old thing. God, have your way. Oh, God, thank you for your blessings. Do this. And there's nothing wrong with those prayers. They're wonderful. But sometimes we need to focus in on what we're really praying for. Hallelujah. Prayer without ceasing was made for him. Hallelujah. Without ceasing for him. That's why the rest of what happens here unfolds. It's so beautiful. Because when prayer was made of the church without ceasing for him, regardless of all those who had orders to keep him and keep him bound and keep him in prison, when Herod would have brought him forth the same night when Herod was going to bring him out and show him who has the power, when Herod would have brought him forth. The same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. That goes back to this morning when it looks like there's no way out. Don't give up. Just keep going on. When it looks like all hope is gone, don't give up. God is able to take you forward from where you are. The angel of the Lord comes to free him. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. I don't think it's because they were loosely placed on him. I don't think that they forgot to lock them. Do you? But prayer was made of the saints without ceasing for him. Wake up, arise quickly. The chains fell off. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." In other words, get dressed, put your shoes on, let's go. And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, follow me." And he went out and followed him. And didn't know that this was true. He didn't know what he was having, some kind of a dream. And wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. You know, when I was a kid, they had the first... They first came up with these doors that would open when you walk up. And we take it for granted now, right? You walk into the mall, the door opens for you. But I remember when that was a new thing. I had never seen anything like that. Hey, man, you just walk up toward the door and it opened. I remember I stood almost all day just walking back and forth and watching that door open. Just watching it. I remember the first time you pushed a button on a car and the window would go down. And I sat there for hours just doing it over and over and over. My dad didn't know why his battery wouldn't work when he couldn't get the car started. Hallelujah. But even though it was new to me back in the 50s, or 60s, whenever it was. We call it the seeing eye door. You know, at that time, it wasn't anything you step on that made it all open. It was a little eye looking at you. When you passed by it, the door opened. Yeah, the door opened. That's how it first started out. And they didn't think about the stepping on it and making it happen until later. But we call it the seeing eye door. But that wasn't the first door that opened on its own accord when somebody came to the door. We can go back 2,000 years and God thought of this a long time ago. Hallelujah. And here's a man, his chains have fallen off. An angel woke him up, said, get dressed, get your shoes on, let's go, follow me, let's get out of here. And they go out to this iron gate. Now the iron gate was locked. His hands had been locked up. And he had been in prison and he was under guard. And it was the very night that Herod planned to present him to the people. An angel comes in, somehow bypasses all these guards, and gets inside that prison, regardless of how many doors are closed and locked. Doesn't matter to God how many locks they put on you or around you. He's able to get the angels through to you if somebody's praying for you. If some people are praying without ceasing for you. Hallelujah. It's good to call on the church and say, pray for me. It's good to call on the people of God and say, I need your prayer. And it's good for the response to be, yes, we will pray. And immediately go to God in prayer and know what you're praying for. Pray for that individual. Pray for this need because God is listening to our prayers. And according to what we read in the Word of God, as I said, prayer moves God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank Him with me right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer moves God. Hallelujah. So they went past the first and second ward, came to the iron gate that leads to the city. It opened to them by itself on its own. And they went out past and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. Amen. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. What an awareness. You think you're having a dream. Think you're having a nightmare. Think you're having a vision. Something that dawns on you. This is not a dream. I'm really out of here. I'm really free. Some people think that they're dreaming when they think I could be set free. Amen. But I know how I've been, what I am, what all I've done. I know where I've come from. Oh, it's only a dream. But you look around and see what God's doing for you and has already done, and you'll come to the realization. It's not a vision. It's not a dream. God has sent His angel because somebody's been praying for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody's been praying for you. On the very night that you were going to be delivered to hell. To the torture and to the nightmare of physical abuse. The very moment when Satan was going to tear you up, God delivered you. You know what? God is never against you when the devil's done everything he can to destroy your Christian relationship with God. God is never against you. Hallelujah. He's against the devil. He's against the powers of darkness. He's against wickedness. God is against sin. But if you're caught in the crossfire and you're thinking, I'm bound, I'm in prison, I am in a situation where I can't get free, and you suddenly find yourself walking alone and everything opens up for you, all the doors open, all the chains fall off, and you're just free, amen. Just go ahead and praise God. It's real. Somebody's been praying for you. Somebody's been praying for you. And God has sent an angel past all the things that had you bound. God has sent an angel through all the locks and all the doors that were closed, saying that you can't get free. And everybody that was watching you to make sure you didn't get free. And God has sent an angel because somebody was praying for you. And here you go, here you go. Where am I? What's going on? It's not a dream. I'm really free. I'm really free. Hallelujah.
I'm really free.
You're not really as free as you can be till you know you're really free. As long as you think it's just a dream, or just a vision, or just I wish you could be, you're not as free as you really can be. But once you really know you're free, hallelujah, that's the time to give God some glory. That's the time to shout. Shout with a voice of triumph. It's time to clap your hands. That's time to run around a little bit and say, "Woo, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus." Hallelujah. So he came to him and said, "I know for sure God has sent an angel. Deliver me out of the hand of Herod, from all that these people expected." And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary. Somehow he knew where to go, for the people were praying. He came to the place where many were gathered together, praying. Everybody say they were praying. What were they praying for? Who were they praying for? Hallelujah. And were they just hit and miss praying? Or did the Bible tell us something about that? They were praying. Prayer was made without what? Without ceasing. They were praying constantly. Lord Jesus, I'm praying for Peter. He's in trouble. He's in prison. He's bound. He has problems. My brother's in a situation. God, there's no help that we can offer other than our prayers. But we're praying for our brother. We're asking you, God, to intervene. Do something that only God can do. Break the powers of darkness. Break the chains. Loose the chains. Open the doors. Make a way for him to be delivered. That's how these prayers were. Oh, God, I'm asking you. I'm pleading with you. I'm trusting in you. This is our brother. We bring him before you. We're asking you for deliverance, Jesus. We're asking you to deliver our brother from the bondage that he's in. I'm going to tell you, your brothers and sisters sometimes get in spiritual bondage. And we need to start making prayer without ceasing for one another, too. Amen. We need to have a place here that people know where to run to when they realize they've been set free. Where they can come through the door with a testimony. The Lord has sent His angel. And the door has opened up and I've been set free.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so here he comes. Wow, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. It wasn't a dream. It's real. The Lord did this for me. I know for sure. Amen. Now that I thought about it, I know what I'll do. I'll go over there to those people's house where they're praying for me and let them know I'm free. Hallelujah. So he went. There were many gathered together there praying. Knocked on the door. Inside the building, there were people saying, "Oh God, deliver our brother. Help our brother. Free him, Lord. Jesus, you know the situation. We're asking you. We're believing you. We're trusting you. Set our brother free." The door. Somebody's at the door. Bad time to come to the door when we're trying to pray. We're trying to get a hold of God here. Rhoda, you go answer the door, see who that is. Let them know we're busy. That's not the exact words, but that's the sense you can draw out of what happens here. Amen. Peter knocked at the door. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. Here's a little girl, the only one in the house that knows prayer has been answered. It's like little Jenna. I mean, we're all in here praying for somebody to be delivered, somebody to be set free. And she goes to the door and she says, "There they are." Yeah, right. Hallelujah. God set Peter free. Help him, Lord, to be set free. This is the very day. This is the very day that he's going to be tortured. This is the very day that he's going to be brought before the people, and they're going to make an example out of him. They're going to kill him right in front of everybody. Oh, God, set him free. Little girl knows something they don't know. God does hear and answer prayer. God does hear and answer prayer. It doesn't matter how hard it seems. Hi, Peter. They've been praying for you in there. I'm so glad you're free. When she knew Peter's voice, she didn't open the gate because she was so glad, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said, "You're mad." But she constantly affirmed it was even so. They were so caught up in this thing that they were praying about, that they were actually praying in a way that many people pray. I'm praying, but I know this situation is hard. I'm praying, but I don't see how God can do it. I'm praying, but this is the day that all the terrible things are supposed to happen. If you can get the but out of your pray and take the but that is in, but the people prayed without ceasing for Peter, for him. Hallelujah. Just get your conjunctions right in the right place. Amen. And hang on to the one that says, "Oh, we know what we're praying for. We know we're going to keep on praying until it happens. And then when it happens, don't say, but you're mad. You're crazy. It can't be happening. This is the day he's supposed to be tortured." But I'm telling you, he's there. I'm telling you, he's there. You're mad. She constantly affirmed, "It's even so." They said, "Well, it's his angel." They thought he's already dead by now. They've killed him. They've cut his head off. It's his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. That's what I'm asking. Why were they astonished? Same way we are when somebody gets healed. We get together, we pray, somebody comes up, and the same old thing every time. We anoint them with oil. Sometimes we don't. We lay hands. Sometimes we just say a prayer. And every once in a while somebody says, "Ah, I'm healed!" And we're just totally astonished. I don't know why. I hope so. But evidently, some people pray and don't expect it. And you know what? You usually get what you expect. You don't expect to get anything, you get nothing. But this is one time when it didn't matter what they expected. God had a plan. Hallelujah. God had a plan. Amen. God wanted them to wake up too and realize God does hear and answer prayer. God does hear and answer prayer. And he wasn't through with this man, Peter, yet. And sometimes it's good for us to see that as we pray and as we ask God for deliverance and for help, that if we would just go ahead and believe it when we see the answer, that God did it. But you've heard the story, I'm sure. The man was falling off the roof. "Oh God, help me, help me, help me, help me, God, help me, I'm falling." And suddenly he got caught by the seat of the pants as a nail was sticking out the edge of the roof. And he hung there. And he grabbed a hold of that roof and was able to get himself back on. He said, "It's okay, God, the nail saved me." Hallelujah. "It's okay, God. The nail took care of the problem. Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Quick, everybody get a hold of me. Pray for me. Get a hold of God for me. Oh, I'm in trouble, I'm in trouble. I'm sick, I'm dying. Get me to the hospital quick." And the doctor takes care of you. Gives me, "It's okay, you don't have to worry about it. The doctor took care of it." Sometimes it's the prayers of the people for the people that gives you time to get to the doctor. If the doctor's there to help, we need to give God the glory. If the medicine you took was helping you. You need to give God the glory. Somebody knew what to prescribe. Somebody gave you something that didn't poison you to death. Hallelujah. Give God the glory. Anything that's there to help us, we need to thank God for it. Don't thank the bottle of aspirins. Don't thank the pills on your shelf. Don't thank the doctor. You can give him your gratitude, but pass him and go on to the one that really is our help and our strength in the time of need. Only God deserves the praise and the glory for our deliverance and our healing. Hallelujah. And you know what? When somebody gets delivered and they testify about it, we don't need to sit around doubting if it's true.
Amen.
Just thank God. Amen. Even if it's not true, thank God anyhow. Because whether it's true or not true, it could be true. If that one's lying about the deliverance and they're still bound, amen, just praise God anyhow, because what they're saying is God does deliver, and He will deliver, and He'll continue to deliver. And if somebody's dreaming, just wait till somebody else comes by that is not dreaming, saying, He really did. Of a surety, I know that God has sent an angel, and I've been delivered.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I was driving across the Canadian border up in north of St. Paul, Minnesota. And as I was at the Border Patrol area and they were asking me these questions, the fellow that was asking the questions said, "So what are you, some kind of preacher or something?" I said, "Well, yeah." "Yeah, what kind are you?" I said, "What's that had to do with me getting across the border?" "Well, I want to know," he said. And I said, "I'm a one God, Jesus name, Holy Ghost filled apostolic, if it means anything to you." He said, "Well, I'm Church of Christ, and I'll be in heaven, I bet you." "Just as well as you will if you make it at all." I said, "Well, if you're Church of Christ, I'm sure you'll make it." He said, "I mean, I'm Church of Christ, you know." He said, "We don't believe in music in our churches. We don't believe in this, we don't believe in that. We speak where the Bible speaks, we're silent where the Bible's silent. All I want to do is get across the border." He just yacked and yacked. "And I'll be in heaven same as you." I don't know if he tangled some apostolic somewhere before. But I was sleepy and I was tired and I was wanting to get across the border. He just went on and on and on. But you know what? I didn't want to argue with the man. He wanted to challenge me to a discussion, a debate. He wanted to have it out right there at the border. Had nothing to do with crossing the border. It was just this man had an attitude. And he said to me, he said, "So why won't you argue? Why won't you debate with me?" I said, "Sir, you told me that you're going to heaven, and I'm just saying hallelujah. You say it, I believe it. You believe a Church of Christ can be saved? I heard you apostolics don't even believe that." I said, "Were they talking about me? You don't even know me." I said, "I'm sitting here listening to you say, I'm going to heaven. I'm Church of Christ. And I'm sleepy and I'm tired. You say you're Church of Christ, I say hallelujah. Whether he's the church of the real Christ and in the truth or not is beside the point. I can say hallelujah because somebody's in the Church of Christ. I can say praise the Lord because somebody's going to go to heaven. If he doesn't make it, I can still rejoice when he says, I'll be there. It's possible he could. I plan to go there too. I have nothing to argue about. I just rejoice that somebody says, I've been delivered. I've been set free. Open the door, let me in. I've got a testimony.
Hallelujah.
I've got a testimony. I want to share it with you. I was asleep beside a couple of guards. 16 soldiers were ordered to keep me locked up, and there were people guarding the doors, and the iron gate was locked, and my hands were locked, and I was all bound up, and there was no way I could get free, and they were getting ready to take me out and torture me and probably kill me right in front of everybody. And all of a sudden, something woke me up, and it was an angel kicking on me. It said, "Get up. Get your shoes on." And guess what, folks? I got up. I thought it was a dream. I thought it was a vision. And I started walking with this angel. And the iron gate that leads to the city just opened up by itself. Hallelujah. I can just see that group of church people. But you know what? I believe after it finally dawned on them too, this is not a dream. This is not a vision. This is true. I believe there's somebody there that maybe got a little emotional. I don't believe they sat around and said, now next on our program. Let's get ready for the benediction. But I believe it might have been something kind of like what we get used to sometimes. Somebody probably broke the ice and said, hallelujah! God answers prayer! God heard our prayer! God answers prayer! Amen. Prayer was made. This wouldn't be in the Bible if that prayer hadn't been important. Prayer was made of the church without ceasing for Him. That's our example. Amen. Amen. Let us stand. Let us stand.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory, 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 glory.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord.
But Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? Where'd he go? I thought you were sleeping next to him. I was. What happened? Oh no. Peter was in trouble. But now they were in trouble. You didn't work for King Herod without getting in trouble if your prisoner got away. They were in trouble. Big trouble. What happened? There was no small stir. That means there was a big stir. Hallelujah, no small stir. Sinners of a day, there was no small stir. This is the day they're supposed to deliver him to the people. Where is he? And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. Again, I'm really glad I live in 2005. In the United States of America. Praise God, where somebody can get away and still be free. And those who are supposed to keep them from getting away, they can go free too. Thank God for the freedom we enjoy. Let's praise the Lord, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, folks. God is able to take you right now, no matter what's going on in your life, any situation that has you bound or you think you're bound, and He's able to dispatch angels right now to deliver you from any hang-up, from any habit, from anything that bothers your mind, from anything that troubles you, from any sickness, from anything that you're going through. He's able right now. And when we pray, we should believe that. And Sister Holly was asking, didn't they expect it? We should expect it. After all, it's the Word of God, but we're human beings, and so easy it is for our carnal minds to just get to thinking on this and get to thinking on that and get our fears and our doubts all set in motion and forget that this is the very God that delivered the Hebrew children that we serve. It's the same God that took the children of Israel across the Red Sea and across the Jordan River and broke down the walls. It's the same God that destroyed the enemies and made a way when there was no way. That's the God we serve tonight. The God that the people pray to, and He sends angels and He delivers people from bondage. That's the God we serve, the God we pray to. Same God. Same God. Everybody say, same God. I'm glad He is. It's easy for us to not expect it to happen. But as I told you a few nights ago, Sister Minnie Herring in our church, come around the front while I talk. I'll try to hush in a minute so we can praise the Lord. Sister Minnie Herring used to come to church often on Sunday nights carrying one shoe in her hand. Carrying one shoe in her hand. Why did she carry that shoe? Because she had a bad toe. And she kept dislocating her toe. And she felt like, if I can get to the house of God, I'll take both of my shoes, because once they pray for me, I'll be able to walk and enjoy the service, and my toe will be okay. Now, I don't know why God didn't permanently heal her toe, but I know at least 20 or 30 times in my childhood, I saw her come to church walking down the aisle with a shoe in her hand, limping. And we all knew what was wrong with Sister Minnie. She limped to the front of the church. The preacher got up, anointed her with oil, prayed for her, laid hands on her, and she said, "Woo!" Put her shoe on and danced all around the church. Danced all around the church. And she'd go several weeks, and all of a sudden, here she comes again carrying that shoe. Carrying that shoe. "Come on up, Sister Minnie. That old toe giving you trouble again?" "Yes, it is. It's all," and it was all bent out sideways, looking terrible. And I'd sit there, I was just a little boy, 8 years old, playing my electric bass, sitting on the platform, staring at that toe. And those people start praying, "Oh, Jesus, heal Sister Minnie. Help her, Lord. Help this toe to go back in place." And I'd watch it. I kept my eyes fastened to that toe. And every once in a while, it's right at the moment I expected. Sure enough, they would say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And there it went, snapped right in place. And she'd go, "Woo!" And she'd put that shoe on and go, "Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!" I don't know why God did it that way, but maybe it was just to get me to tell you that every time you pray, no matter how small the matter is, God will hear your prayer. And God will put that toe back in place. God will help you, Lord. He will help you to get past that toothache, that headache, that ear infection.
Hallelujah.
That cancer. That heart condition. Hallelujah. Or that spiritual problem you're going through. Mental. Whatever it may be. He's able. Depression. Stress. Bad thoughts, bad dreams. Something keeps you tormented and bound, wondering, why do I go through these things? Hey, I don't know all the answers about why, but I know this. God answers prayer.
Oh, yes, amen.
God answers prayer.
Yes,
God answers prayer.
Yes,
God answers prayer.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
When I was 16...
16
years old, I saw a lady in Jonesboro, Arkansas, come walking down the aisle in our church. She had a long shoe, you know, one of those built-up shoes? And she was walking, and she had that big shoe. And she came up and she said, "I've had this short leg all my life." And she said, "I believe when I'm prayed for today, I won't have to wear that special shoe anymore." And she said, "I brought an extra pair of flat-bottom shoes." And she said, "I want to walk out of here healed." She had tears in her eyes. Tears in her eyes. And there were people sitting there because the church is sort of one of those quiet churches. They'd been Pentecostal for a long time. They knew how to have church. They had their choirs. They had their orchestras. They had their ladies' auxiliary. They had their Sunday school. But all of a sudden, this lady that hardly nobody knew comes walking down. And they were astonished that somebody would dare to ask for such a miracle. I mean, we can pray for the headache, we can pray for the earache, we can pray for the little problem we're having, the job situation, the finances. But here's a woman with a shoe built up that big. Her leg is about 6 inches shorter than her other leg. And she says, when you get through praying, I want to take this shoe off and put on these flat-bottom shoes, and I want to walk out of here with both of my legs just able to walk straight." It was quiet. And they started praying. The same people that had prayed many times. Watched people come up for prayer and go away just as sick as they were when they came up. But there was something about this lady. She had faith to believe, when you pray for me, God is going to answer that prayer. And as she started talking to us with tears in her eyes, people started believing with her. This God we prayed to is able to do this. And you know what? When they started believing it, she started getting happy. And they started getting happy. Pretty soon she took that shoe off, she put those flat bottom shoes on, and she went running around that church like a little schoolgirl. And as far as I know, all these years, she's still been praising the Lord with both of her legs the same exact length, and both of them wearing the same kind of shoes. Hallelujah! That's the God we pray to. Let's thank Him right now. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's nothing too hard for God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. How great is our God. How great is His name. He is the greatest one. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him tonight. Let's believe Him. There's something in your life. Call on Him right now. The Lord grant you your petition in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.